Let us pause for prayer. Will God make sense of this story to us, that we may understand it, that we may internalize it, and that we may apply it for what we will be facing in the week to come. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So in today's scripture, the lawyer is asking Jesus, how do I get to heaven? What must I do to live forever an eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what is written? Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then the lawyer says, well, who is my neighbor? My reaction is, why doesn't the lawyer know who his neighbor is? Normally, we would think of our neighbors as those living around us. Think about our neighbors who live around us. This past Friday, the electric company was out in our neighborhood and was changing our transformer on the poles and the wires. I guess they were converting it all to copper. And so we didn't have electricity for one full day, from 8 in the morning till 8:30. So many of the neighbors started to come out of the house to watch and see what they were doing. And I decided to talk to one of the workers who was manning the roadblock. He gave me a play-by-play of what was happening. I thought, maybe I should just go talk to him. He had been out there for 12 hours on his feet, and maybe if I went to talk to him, the time would pass and make him feel better. So we ended up talking about the neighborhood and my neighborhood and his neighborhood, and I told him I knew my neighbors to the left of me, to the right of me, and I didn't know the people across the street as much because I don't see them all that much. One of the neighbors, who I've never seen before, came out of their house and started yelling and saying, when are we going to have our electricity back? And the guy who was with me said, oh, hopefully in 2 hours. She slammed the door and went back into the house. That's not fair, she said. Moments later, she came out of the house and she said, you guys better be done by the time I get back. And she drove off in a huff. The worker then said to me, you know, if people are nice to you, then it makes our job easier and you can be nice back. It makes sense to love your neighbors, those who are nearby, those who are next to you, those who are nice to you. What was the lawyer thinking when he asked Jesus this question? Was he thinking, okay, I love my neighbors, and so Jesus is going to tell me and affirm that I'm doing the right thing? Or was he being sarcastic? Which is an obvious answer. Of course I know who my neighbors are. Or does he sense that maybe Jesus is talking about something greater, symbolic than just my neighbors around me? Maybe he genuinely wants to know. So Jesus answers the question by telling the story about the Good Samaritan. And by listening to the story, Jesus' reference to neighbor is supposed to be a person beyond the neighborhood. The reference is someone to who we don't know, someone who is not a family member, someone who is not a good friend, or even someone who's not even our kind. Based on the story of the Good Samaritan, the neighbor is unrelated to us. The neighbor is of a different race, of a different religion. The neighbor is a stranger and not someone just next door. Jesus starts to tell the story about a man who is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho and is beaten up by robbers, and presumably he is Jewish. He is stripped and left half dead. So a priest and a Levite pass by. Now, if the man in the ditch is Jewish, then the priest and the Levite are supposed to stop, because that's according to the laws of Moses, according to their scriptures. But they don't. These folks who are supposed to be religious and law-abiding fail. Why? Maybe they're in a hurry. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're too busy. They just don't have time. They don't follow whatever it is, the law. Enter into the scene, the Samaritan. Now, who are Samaritans? Samaritans are those people who are an offshoot of the Israelites. They believe that God was in the mountain because God revealed himself to Moses in the mountain, so they set up the worship centers in the hills. They worship God in the mountains, whereas the Israelites said, no, God is not in the mountain. God is in the temple with the ark. And so the Israelites look down on the Samaritans. The Israelites see themselves as correct and orthodox and proper and worship according to the laws. So the Samaritans are a lower sect, a lower class. So the lawyer who is talking to Jesus then is a temple observer, someone who follows the law of Moses and is familiar with the phrase, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. It's called the Shema, and it's a phrase, a familiar mantra that they recite, that they say in worship, kind of like our responsive readings. Maybe the lawyer was looking for some formula or idea or set of rituals so that he could get to heaven. Maybe he was thinking, maybe I need to think right. But Jesus tells the story of the Samaritan. Now, interestingly to me, Jesus turns the answer around. The lawyer says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus' question back to him is, who do you think was more of a neighbor? The Samaritan is a neighbor to the man in need. The Samaritan is a neighbor to the stranger. So Jesus, instead of asking, who is my neighbor? Jesus is saying, you be a neighbor. You be a good neighbor. I don't know if you can tell the difference between asking, who is my neighbor, versus someone telling you, no, you be a neighbor, a good neighbor. Take the initiative. Go and make contact. Reach out. Take a chance. Go out on a limb. So he does. He tells the lawyer to go and do likewise. Now, according to Fred Craddock, in one commentary that I was reading, that there is 12 verbs that the Samaritan does. He goes near him, he sees him, he is moved with pity, some say moved with compassion. He went to him, he bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine on him, on the wounds, put him on his animal, brought him to the inn, took care of him, and the next day he took 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to the innkeeper, take care of him, and I will pay you back. Now, the lawyer was probably very aware of all the sequence of things, the right order and logic, but Jesus doesn't give him the logic and the rituals and the neat, nice formulas. The key and the core point of this story is being moved to pity or moved to compassion. So what Jesus is telling the lawyer is not about the thinking, but it's about the feeling. Identifying with the feeling of compassion, but it doesn't stop there. You just don't feel, but the feeling leads to action. The compassion leads to action. The feeling leads to interaction. And the compassion to interaction. One of my favorite shows on TV growing up was Mr. Rogers as a kid. Many of you used to watch him. Some of you. What was it about the show that captivated us to him? His warmth, his welcome, his kindness, his personality, his clean cut, that train that he had. But it was that famous song. Remember that song? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in the beauty wood. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Mr. Rogers invited us to learn and explore and discover together, and we're all strangers. Through his television show, he reached out to many in the world. And there was something homey about us, something, the way he made us feel safe and secure and supported. And he taught many kids how to be a good neighbor. When I was a kid in elementary school, I came home one day and nobody was home. And I started to scream my head off. I know that's hard for you to imagine right now. Me screaming my head off. My mother had said, I must have been second grade. My mother said, I'm going to be late today. Just wait there. And I was too young to get a key. So she said, just wait there. So I went to school and I had forgotten all about it. So when I got home, I felt alone and abandoned and scared. So I started to scream my head off. And a neighbor in the apartment saw what was happening and came down and calmed me down. And I didn't know who the neighbor was and never met them. And she took me into her apartment and gave me milk and cookies. And I was a happy camper. And I remember my mom coming home and me running out the door saying, Mom, this is our neighbor. She gave me milk and cookies. Fast forward 25 years, I was a pastor in this little small town of Descanso. I lived in the parsonage, and we had church members living close by. And Timmy Simpson was a church member and a neighbor. He was about in second grade. He would be wandering out in the streets playing, and he'd be bored, and sometimes he would knock on my door, ask me what I was doing, and I'd invite him in. And being the young bachelor pastor, he would often tell me how messy my house was. He was a dancer. He would take dance lessons and he would show me his dance, and then he would say, how come there's stuff on your floor? But I would give him snacks and I would make him feel calm and help him pass the time while his parents were working. I have some nice memories of someone being a good neighbor to me and some good memories of me being a neighbor to someone else. Jesus would want us to be good neighbors to those around us. But the message of the Good Samaritan is it goes beyond that. Sure, Jesus wants us to love our neighbors close by, but also beyond. Yesterday, we heard the verdict of the court case of George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. And Zimmerman was in this neighborhood watch program. And apparently, he thought Martin didn't belong there. And a fight ensued, and now Martin is dead. The sad thing is, Zimmerman's father and Martin's father lived there in that neighborhood. Somehow there was a conflict, a mistreatment, and something went wrong about being a good neighbor. What would have happened if they saw each other as neighbors? What would have happened if they talked to each other like they were neighbors? What happened if they treated each other like they were neighbors? Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer knew that it must be more complicated than just loving those next to us. But the answer is the definition that the neighbor is beyond the boundaries. The neighbor could be that foreigner. The neighbor could be the stranger. The neighbor could be someone different from our ethnic background. The neighbor is different from our religion. The neighbor could be a victim. The neighbor is one who has been wronged or who is oppressed. And what do we do about the neighbors that mistreat us? The answer starts with feeling compassion, and then action and interaction. The lawyer, when he originally asked Jesus the question, he says, "What must I do to get to heaven?" And Jesus' ultimate response is, "Love your neighbor and you will live." And the part that he answers, "You will live," is interesting too, because what does he mean by "you will live"? Jesus almost says, "Don't worry about heaven, but live your life now." And what does it mean to live? It means to have compassion. It means to feel and to care for your neighbor. To live is to accept the challenge of loving someone different from us. That's what it means to live, not to please ourselves, not to fulfill ourselves, but to engage and embrace and help the neighbor. It's a lot to do and a lot to think about, but I leave those thoughts with you, and we continue to strive to be a neighbor to our neighbors and to those beyond. Amen.